Our talk today is an Advent preparation. Advent is coming to a screeching halt soon, but I'm still keeping the same title. So in November, we focused on the purification of soul, a fundamental point in the devout life of St. Francis de Sales, the purgation of sin and the affections for sin. Sin is a very important initial topic of de Sales in his spirituality. It doesn't end there. It's the way to get into a spiritual life. In my meditation this month, during this Advent season soon to end, the focus is a reflection on the 10 meditations given by de Sales in his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life. And that's what we, for those of you who are joining us today for the first time, this is the book that we are using this year. And these 10 meditations are given by him to assist in the preparation for a general confession. I will review each of these meditations on our reflection today. And I've passed out the 10 of them so you can, everybody has a copy of this, I trust. It's an easy way to follow along. How appropriate, for Advent is a special time of preparation for the celebration of the coming of Jesus at Christmas. But not just at Christmas, for Christians have spoken about three comings of Christ in the flesh at baptism in Bethlehem, in our hearts each day, the sanctifying grace which permeates our hearts, and in glory at the end of the world, the final judgment. Those are the three Advents that are referred to in our tradition. As we focus on preparation for general confession in this reflection, it is good to keep in mind that de Sales underscores that a general confession is not always absolutely necessary, but he considers it exceedingly useful and earnestly advises it from time to time. Concept of a general confession. He does not mean repeating sins that have already been confessed and forgiven. That's not a general confession. It's a more thorough confession reflecting on the commandments and beatitudes and a thorough examination of conscience following the meditations which I've just set forth, which he has written, which should assist us. De Sales writes, in addition, a general confession summons us to know ourselves, arouses wholesome sorrow for our past life, makes us marvel at the mercy of God who has so patiently waited for us, brings peace to our hearts, calms our minds, excites us to good resolutions, provides our spiritual director or confessor with an opportunity to advise us more properly as to our own condition, and opens our hearts to reveal ourselves with confidence in subsequent confessions. First section, number 6. He writes further, by the help of God's grace, these meditations, these 10 meditations, which he proposes as useful for us in thinking really of our spiritual journey, will be very helpful in rooting out of your heart both sin and the chief affections for sin. First, number 8. They're moreover helpful in our efforts to develop a devout life. And that's really the goal of his book. The goal of his book, as I've mentioned before, this Introduction to the Devout Life came out in 1609, was the first time that lay people were being targeted as people who should have a devout life. And formerly it was just monks and nuns and priests. And so this is the beginning. The Vatican Council really developed the vocation of the laity in much more depth. But this was already a foreshadowing of it. They are moreover helpful, these meditations, in our efforts to develop a devout life. Now before meditating on each meditation, we are importantly invited humbly to put ourselves in the presence of God and pray that he might inspire us. And that's always a good thing to do even when we pray. I usually do my half hour of prayer in the morning in my prayer chair. And the first parts, I don't need to be calm because I've just got out of bed. But, I mean, you put yourself consciously in God's presence and ask for him to be with you and to experience his love in that time. And so with a general confession that is proposed in these meditations. In this season of Advent, the season of preparation for Christmas, these 10 meditations are thus akin in the spiritual journey of de Sales and our own to another kind of preparation, a preparation by which we enter more deeply into the love of our Heavenly Father, revealed definitively in the love of Him born at Bethlehem. So first meditation, and he goes in, this is just a summary of them, in the book he goes at greater length, on our creation. DeSales has us reflect that God has drawn us out of nothingness, that's creation, to make us what we are, and has done so solely out of His own goodness and without need of us. The nature given us is capable of eternal life with Him forever. We were created ex nihilo, from nothing. But instead of uniting myself to Him in love and service, I become a total rebel, this is DeSales, by my disorderly affections, and separated myself from Him, embrace sin by distancing myself from Him, and fail to honor Him as my loving Creator. The resolution is no longer to be self-complacent, but to change my life and henceforth to follow my Creator and to find honor in the state of being He has given us, employing it entirely in obedience to His will by such means as will be taught me and about which I will ask my spiritual director. So the idea that we were created, created means from nothing, and he's asking us to get in touch with ourselves as created people. Two, second meditation, on the end for which we were created. What is the end of creation? DeSales reminds us that God placed us in this world not because of His need for us, but to exercise His goodness in us by giving us His grace and glory. Hence we were given intellect to know Him, memory to be mindful of Him, will to love Him, imagination to picture ourselves, His benefits, eyes to see His wonderful works, tongues to praise Him, and the same with all other faculties. We were born with that, part of the creation. That has not always happened. DeSales recommends, speaking of God, that you shall henceforth be the sole object of my thoughts. I will no longer turn my mind to thoughts that displease you. Every day of my life, my memory will be filled with your great mercy that has been so sweetly shown to me. You shall be the joy of my heart and the sweetness of my affections. The trifling, foolish things which I have hitherto devoted myself to, the vain uses to which I have put my days, and the affections that have filled my heart shall from now on be looked on with horror. First section, number 10. Third meditation, on God's benefactions. I had to look that word up. Maybe you know what it means. It means charitable acts or gifts. I don't know if that's in the tax code or not. DeSales reminds us to remember the corporeal benefits God has bestowed on us. Our body, our health, lawful comforts, friends, aids, help, and gifts of mind. He asserts that God has favored us. In addition, he speaks of the spiritual favors that we possess, His sacraments, inspirations, interior light, and yes, how gentle and gracious God has been to you. He encourages us to marvel at the goodness of God and His mercy. Then the trigger. Marvel at your own ingratitude. What am I, O Lord, that you are mindful of me? And yes, how great is my ingratitude to the depths of His grace and favor. He encourages us to be no longer faithless, ungrateful, and disloyal to this great benefactor, namely God. Speaking of our God, keep your body safe from such and such pleasures and consecrated to the service of God who has done so much for it. Verse number 11. Finally, DeSales promises God in our name, yes, O my God, I will be assiduous in prayer and in the sacraments. I will listen to your holy word and put your inspirations and counsels into practice. Verse number 11. Now, so we've dealt with creation, the end for which we were created, God's benefactors to us, the goodness that He gives to us. And now the fourth is the first time the word sin is used. So the fourth meditation is on sin. DeSales asks us to consider when I began to sin. the increase of sin in my life. I've said this so often. Pope John Paul II used to say, the loss of the sin is the sin of the 20th century. And the loss of the sense of sin goes hand in hand with the loss of the sense of God. So in effect, the loss of sense of sin in our lives is a form of modern atheism. So the idea of sin is something which we've tried to push under the rug. And it is important because we talk about, in this Christmas season, we talk about Jesus, our Savior. I asked the kids yesterday, fourth grade class in my Mass, I said, does anyone know what Jesus means? What does the name mean? And one little tyke raised his hand and said, it means God saves. I said, my God, I said, I just learned that last year. And this little fourth grader knew it. But saves us from what? Saves us from sin. So if we knock sin out of the equation, the idea of needing a Savior is reduced or taken out of the question. So we have to have a healthy sense of sin, not something that pulls us down. So De Sales asks us to consider, when did I begin to sin? The increase of sin in my life, the evil inclinations, and how often have I given way to them, especially the sin of ingratitude to God. It keeps coming back to the benefactors of God. Note then how many benefits God has granted you and how you have misused all of them against the giver. In the face of this sin, he encourages us to ask pardon and resolve to live a better life. No, Lord, nevermore, with the help of your grace. No, nevermore will I abandon myself to sin. And I will do all that I can to root out completely what is planted in my heart, particularly such things that have most troubled me, knowing that I have never done enough to prepare such grievous faults. Verse number 12. This is the first section of the book, chapter 12, paragraph 12. The fifth meditation on death. De Sales speaks about the uncertainty of the time of our own death, but in contrast, the certainty that we will die, and he says sooner than we think. Many of you may know that Monsignor Cain, who lived with me at St. Little Flower for all those years, died on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception in his sleep. I mean, I was just having a great conversation with him the night before, and it just struck me the uncertainty of life. I mean, he was taken with no warning at all. Consider, he writes, with what haste they will carry away that body and bury it in the earth. And this is done. The world will scarcely think about you or keep your memory. He reminds us how the soul, after leaving the body, goes its way either to the right or to the left, depending on the result of God's judgment of our lives. Lord, take me under your protection on that dreadful day. I wish to prepare myself for that hour and to take all needed care to make a blessed departure. Sixth meditation on judgment. At a certain point, De Sales reminds us that fire, like a raging torrent, will burn and reduce to ashes the whole face of the earth. Thereafter, all will rise from the earth to be judged by the sovereign judge, surrounded by angels and saints. The judge will separate the good from the bad. We see this in Scripture, in Matthew's Gospel, or Michelangelo's Last Judgment. The judge will separate the good from the bad, an everlasting separation, and thereafter the two groups will never again be together. De Sales spends some time reflecting on how the wicked will forever experience, in a word, an eternity of abandonment that God utters to those unhappy souls when they never again see the face of God. In contrast, the good will be drawn to him. O God, what a grace this is, for this kingdom shall never have an end. He concludes by proposing that we detest our sins, for they alone can ruin you on that dreadful day. And he encourages confession of sins and acceptance of the advice given us. Seventh meditation on hell. De Sales, at his most descriptive, writes, the damned are in the depths of hell as though trapped in a doomed city, where they suffer unspeakable torments in every sense and every member. And he adds that beyond all such torments, there is one still greater, the privation and loss of God's glory, from which they will be forever barred from God. What is most compelling about hell for De Sales is the eternity of these sufferings, and that alone makes hell unbearable. He asks, how can one ever think of parting from God forever? He says he will make such and such efforts to avoid sin, for alone it can bring me eternal life, to eternal death. Confess that you have deserved hell, and it many times, but henceforth I will follow the contrary path. Cardinal Sean O'Malley, the Archbishop of Boston, yesterday had the challenging task of facing the press in the light of Cardinal Bernard Law's death. And he handled it well as one could in that situation. But the last question asked him, do you think Cardinal Law is in hell? And he very kindly said, I'm not here as a judge. He said, that's God's job. But he said, all of us are destined for heaven. And that's our hope and our prayer. I sent him a little email, and he sent me one right back. I said, that was so deft, the way you handled that question. And that's, I think, true. We're not judges, and hopefully we'll never see hell. But then, now on to the eighth meditation, which is a little more positive, on paradise. All the beauty put together in the universe is of no value compared to the excellence of God's paradise united with him forever. How fortunate as well is the countless throng of the millions upon millions of angels, cherubim and seraphim, those bands of apostles and martyrs and confessors, virgins, holy women. According to De Sales, they will forever sing their sweet canticle of eternal love. They forever enjoy constant happiness. They give one another ineffable contentment and live in the consolation of a happy and indissoluble union. We are called to marvel at this heavenly fatherland and praise it. It makes us ask ourselves why we have wandered from this heavenly gift. Wretch that I am, he writes, for trifling, bitter pleasures, I have 1,000 times forsaken these eternal and infinite delights. Close quote. Talking about heaven. Put everything away that might lead us astray or delay in the journey, De Sales encourages us. Let us go forward, my dear soul, to that infinite repose. Let us travel on to that blessed land which is promised to us. What are we doing in Egypt? Close quote. The ninth meditation on your sheet, the election and choice of heaven. There is a choice, after all, between heaven and hell, and each of us, with the help of God and his angels and saints, is called to choose heaven and life eternal with God. De Sales describes so clearly the choice at hand. Although each of them is open to receive you in keeping with your choice, yet God, who is prepared to give you hell by his justice or heaven by his mercy, desires with an incomparable desire that you choose heaven. How incredibly reassuring. And we are called to detest hell with all its torments and pains, now and forevermore. Repeatedly, we should find ourselves telling God, oh my God, I bless your mercy. I accept the offer you are pleased to give me. We accept the help of our Blessed Lady and all the angels and saints. They encourage us to make this choice. He's big on angels, by the way. Throughout, you've read enough of it, haven't you, Matt? You notice that the angels are part of his. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, some of you may remember his television program, and he would always end with his Monsignoral outfit, and he'd end by saying, and may God love you. And then all of a sudden, the blackboard was erased. He had a blackboard. It was a television show. More converts that came from that show. It was in the 50s, I think. And He used to call his...
I'll explain about blackboards later.
Yeah, I was going to explain that afterwards. I think it would be a good thing. Blackboards are not a household word now. But they would be erased. And he would thank his guardian angel. Now, there are only some of us who grew up in the 50s, but do you know what his guardian angel's name was? That's a good one to stump at a cocktail party with people over 70. It was Skip. Skip was his guardian angel. So he named his guardian angel. I told someone yesterday who came to see me, I said, have you ever felt the experience of your guardian angel? And he said, well, I have. He said, I really have felt that. I said, have you named your guardian angel? And the person said, no, I haven't named the guardian angel yet. And she walks in as we speak about angels. She's my cousin, so I can say that. So the 10th meditation. The election and choice of the soul makes of a devout life. Two conflicting images, Satan and his sad and wretched throng, and Jesus Christ, crucified in the great throng of devout souls around him, which include the saints and crowded ranks of the married, who live so calmly together in mutual respect and love. The devout souls have left Satan, but now they must join Jesus, the King to whom they aspire. They must make a choice and join Jesus, as do each one of us. Jesus lives. In the words of DeSales, the devout souls should say, I turn to you, my own Jesus, King of happiness and eternal glory, and I embrace you with all the strengths of my soul. I adore you with my whole heart. I choose you to be my king now and forever. That's the choice of the devout life. By this inviolable act of fidelity, I pay you irrevocable homage. I submit myself to your holy laws and ordinances. Yes, the election and choice of a soul for the devout life comes at the end of these 10 different meditations that DeSales gives us as we prepare for a general confession, which are done every so often in one's life, or even a regular confession. So to conclude, after these 10 meditations, after contemplating them, DeSales advises that the individual proceed with a humble and confident mind to make a general confession. As I mentioned, not confessing sins that have been confessed and forgiven. Those through confession reflecting on these commandments and meditations more through an examination of conscience. He writes further, contrition and confession are so beautiful and have so good an odor that they wipe away the ugliness of sin and purify its stench. And he goes back to the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. Mark, repent and believe the good news. The first public words of Jesus were a call of repentance. And of course, today we hear about the Baptist, right, in Elizabeth's womb. And the Baptist is the precursor of Christ 6 months before Jesus was born. But he would go forward and use the same words of Jesus, prepare the way. He's the Advent, in Isaiah, of course, the Advent prophet. So I add my voice to that of the saint and suggest in this joyful season of Advent soon to end that each of us join me and come home for Christmas to the wonderful sacrament of penance, that great citadel of God's mercy and love for each and every one of us. So in some respects, these 10 meditations, which DeSales gives us now at the beginning of the introduction of the devout life, are a beautiful set of Advent meditations.